We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, welcome back. We're getting right to this, Al, because I feel like a kid, right? Okay. And Christmas came, and I wanted a bike, and instead I got an orange. Right?
Oh, that's bad.
And then the next year I wanted a fancy train set, and I got a pier, right? Oh. And now Christmas is coming again next week, and I'm hoping, Al, for a shiny new car, but I'm probably going to get a little block of coal.
Yeah, it's bad.
But I still have to pretend like this year I'm going to get what I want. That's where we are with this draft. Here that we'll be overseeing it here at WIP with many controversial ways to look at things is our football reporter, Elliot Shore Parks. Hi, Elliot.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Elliot, people always accuse us on this show of goofing around and making jokes. How are we wanting to move back up in the draft is not a joke. It is a serious report, correct?
Correct. Yeah, and I think it makes sense, right? I think when you're sitting in with 11 picks in the draft, the most of any team, you're going to be aggressive and probably trying to move up, especially now that you have what's going to be more than likely 3 picks next year, right, in the first round. So I do think they'll explore moving up, and I think there's a good chance they do it. But you're right, after moving down, it certainly comes across kind of silly.
Well, he was up. He was sixth. He was in a spot where he was going to get a star building block for the next era of great Eagles players, and he traded it for a pig in a poke, the next Andre Dillard, a low first-round pick, next year. How does it make sense that suddenly now he wants to be back up? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it makes sense when you think of the fact that the Dolphins really overpaid to go from 12 to 6, right? The Eagles getting that first-round pick next year was more than the draft chart, more than they were supposed to get. So the fact that they have that value next year means that they can now move back up. Look, I don't think they're going to move up to 6, but I think part of the reason they moved down is because they don't think that anybody was going to be there, like a Ja'Marr Chase, right? So I think that if you look at picks 8 or 9, or maybe even 7, but probably more 8 or 9, they can move up from 12 to those picks for either a future second or maybe even a third. So you end up getting a guy within the top 10, right? So an elite level talent, and you have that first round pick next year. Bottom line, they have to hit on the pick. None of this will matter if they miss on
Bingo.
The pick. But in terms of the value, yeah, like it does make sense to move back up. See, after acquiring that first.
And I would argue that the value is far less than a man who's rated among the worst drafters the past 5 years. That value is not value. It's only value if he suddenly grows a brain and can make the right picks. Here's the real issue. I'm seeing reports that Howie would love to get back up in front of the Giants and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Did it occur to him when he traded down that he was going below them?
I would hope so, right? I would hope he would know the draft board. But you're right. I mean, look, it's an advantage being back in front of them. But I don't know if I would have traded from 6 to 12, but I think that their rationale is basically it's going to be more than a one-year rebuild. You're now going to have the 3 first-round picks next year, which is huge for a couple reasons. One, it'll give you 3 first-round picks, which is big, but also it's a lot of assets if you do want to trade up or if you do want to make a move for a quarterback if Jalen Hurts doesn't work. So I just think they thought getting that was more important ultimately than the possibility of not being in front of the Giants and Cowboys. If they can move back up for a third-round pick, that'd be great. But I just think they believe it was more important to collect those assets than to draft in front of the division rivals.
All right, Elliot, Rhea Hughes is an expert in human behavior. And Rhea Hughes is convinced, having watched Howie Roseman for years and knowing how much heat he feels right now in this city, that he will make a big move just so that he could take the heat off. Do you think that's a factor?
I think there's a good possibility of that. I would say trading from 6 to 12 by itself is certainly a move that was not popular, so that did not help Howie. But, yeah, if Jalen Waddle, let's say, if he can move up and get Jalen Waddle, or if, Ja'Marr Chase does fall to 7 or 8, I don't think that's that possible. But if it does and he can move up and get him, certainly I think the PR aspect of that will play a role, because whether they like to admit it or not, you know, Howie and the Eagles are definitely aware of what people say. And I think at times it can impact, you know, their ability to make certain moves. So if Ja'Marr Chase gets to 7 or 8, yeah, I definitely think that the PR part of it and just how excited it'll make fans could play a role in Howie paying a little extra to move back up.
All right. I don't think this would necessarily be a good PR move, Elliot, but all reports are the Eagles are one of the very few teams still in it for Deshaun Watson. What are you hearing on that?
So I don't know how serious it is they'll actually make a trade. From the thing about the Eagles, and they've done this for years, not just with Deshaun Watson, they always do their homework on all the guys. That's why you see them connected to so many free agents, so many trade rumors when those things happen. Is they'll check in, they'll keep tabs of what's going on so that they can make, you know, an informed decision at the time. If, let's say, all of a sudden the Texans say, you know what, we'll trade Deshaun Watson for one first-round pick, well, then you've done your homework and you can make an informed decision. Ultimately, I don't think they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson. I think at this point it's just too messy of a situation. There's too many uncertainties, obviously, for lots of reasons. Plus, there is, you know, the moral aspect of it, depending on, you know, what they found in their investigation. I think that they will stick with Jalen Hurts. And yeah, I don't think they'll be trading for Deshaun Watson.
What about Russell Wilson? That's the other day we keep hearing. We know how he's always loved him. Anything there at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Eagles can love Russell Wilson all they want, but I don't see why Russell Wilson would come here. I mean, at his age, he does have, you know, he can pick where he goes. Unlike Deshaun Watson at this point, Russell Wilson is still, you know, probably the most sought-after quarterback in the league in terms of ones that are actually available. He'll have his choice of where he wants to go. The Eagles are still a little bit away from winning, and, you know, it's not going to happen this offseason, I don't think. And so next year, the chance of it making sense, either they're so bad that he doesn't want to come here, or they surprise people and they're good. And if that's the case, Jalen Hurts was probably good. So I don't think you'll be seeing Russell Wilson playing for the Eagles.
All right. I have always been a fan, unlike Al Morganti, of awkward situations. Mm-hmm. And I see one developing now. Is it becoming possible that Zach Ertz will return to the Eagles after all the trade talk?
No, I don't think so. And I did for a little bit. You know, when they didn't cut him prior to start of free agency and he wasn't moved initially, I thought maybe he could be back, but from what I'm hearing, he will not be back on the Eagles in 2021. It's just a matter of kind of how the divorce happens. I think you could see him be traded during the draft, potentially as a piece to help them move up, whether that be from the second back into the first or something like that. And if he's not traded during the draft, I think at that point, they'll probably just trade him for whatever they can get or maybe even cut him. But there's no denying Zach Ertz from 1 year to now, I mean, he's been, you know, his value has taken a hit, and that dream of another big contract is probably gone.
They're going to cut their best tight end ever. It's mind-boggling, but very possible, I guess. It's amazing the way he got devalued. All right, now we've got coming up at 8 o'clock, what a provocative and interesting column by Marcus Hayes. Considering the possibility that Doug Peterson is done as a coach in the NFL, that he will not return, do you see that as a possibility, Elliot Shoprox?
Yeah, I thought it was a very interesting column by Marcus, as always. And I think there's a good possibility of that. I mean, you know, just I wasn't in the NovaCare last year for COVID reasons, obviously, but just talking with Doug every week via Zoom, you could really see, I think, how much it's kind of weighed on him, right? And also, he's already won the Super Bowl, right? So I think that from that perspective, I don't know how much more he feels he needs to come back and prove. I think it's hard to find a good head coaching job in the NFL. Lots of times the jobs that you have to take, frankly, are like the Eagles won in 2016, where they're rebuilding or there's issues within the organization. So, you know, Doug's made his money. He's won his Super Bowl. I would be surprised if he got back into coaching anytime soon. I think it would have to be the perfect job for him to come back.
And finally, Elliot, are you excited that the draft is next week?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. The draft's one of my favorite times of the year. Especially with the 11 picks, the fact that they could move back up, I think it's going to be incredibly interesting. And let's be honest, this is a huge moment for the franchise. They have got to get an elite level talent to come and help to rebuild this team.
Starter from day one.
No, hold on a minute, Elliot.
From day one, snap one, he has to be out on the field.
So I'm guessing when you were a kid, you got what you wanted for Christmas. Is that right?
I had nice parents, so yeah, I got
you have it.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
See, you're assuming you're going to get what you want
Elliot.
This year. You're not going to get it. It's Howie, and Howie is not a good picker. He's going to ruin it again, Elliot.
My parents are phenomenal, and one year, instead of the stereo that my sister and I thought we were getting, we got encyclopedias. Just oh,
ouch. No. Ouch.
Oh, that's
well, look,
not
I'll
good.
Say Howie's been good inside the top 15, so I think there's a good chance there.
Oh,
the rest,
stop it,
the Elliot. Rest of the draft where he's been bad.
Elliot, we're losing you. I can't hear you anymore, Elliot. See you later, pal. Okay, he broke up near the end there. I didn't hear that last part there. And let me just say, this is the premise that Marcus used. This is really powerful stuff. He'll be out at 8 o'clock. So in July, remember our last July, all right, the Eagles haven't played anything yet. They're coming off a Super Bowl and two playoff seasons. And by July, Marcus speaks to a former coaching colleague of Doug Peterson.
Right.
And the guy tells Marcus, I don't think Doug would be disappointed at all if he had to leave the Eagles. Yeah, the guy had a book out. Yeah. He wrote a book, Jonesy.
Yep.
He won it Super Bowl. I had a parade
yep.
2 years later. 2 years then. This is three now. It's two. He's telling a guy that he used to work for, I think I had enough of these people.
Yeah. That
Not
makes
unbelievable?
Sense. Yeah, it makes sense. Understanding what we have come to find out over the last little while, that
right.
does it makes sense. Doug's a very good coach. He's a very good guy. That would wear on you.
And Marcus did some computations, and Doug is a pretty simple guy. He loves to fish. He loves to golf, and he enjoys relaxation. He really likes
yeah,
that.
Good.
This is really – you're coming in here to this city. This was a grueling 5 years for him.
Mm-hmm.
He already made minimum the 2 years prior to his firing, $10
million. Yeah.
Remember, he got a big boost after he won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Now he's going to get $10 more over the next 2 years, not the coach.
Yeah.
If he just keeps his mouth shut. And doesn't violate his contract. That's why he can't talk. So now he's got $20 million, right? After taxes, he got $10, $12 million bucks,
yes.
right?
Yep.
He can live.
He can.
He doesn't have to. He can live off that.
I will tell you this, Ange, of the coaches that I know and that I've worked with and
right.
that I'm friends with, it's in their blood. They absolutely love doing it.
But not all of them.
All of them.
I've never
met a coach that didn't want to coach the rest of his life. I'm just telling you.
I
have not met one. Like for Craig Berube, for Rick Tocchet, Rod Brind'Amour, all the guys that I play with that have become coaches, Eddie Olchuk, who's doing the TV, it's in their blood.
But Jonesy,
they love it.
Did those guys ever work for an organization that has really gone out of their way to minimize everything he had to do with winning a championship?
Yeah, no, I can't say that. I can't say that.
Right.
But I will say that they've worked in adverse circumstances.
Yeah.
And they love, it's not the love of managing up for people.
Yeah.
It's the love of coaching the players.
The competition, camaraderie.
I can't tell you. It's an amazing.
The strategy, the build up for the game.
The way they describe it, it's an amazing part of their lives. I would be shocked if Doug didn't. If someone came to him and said, hey, we're San Francisco, we want you to be our head coach, I think he goes in a second.
Right, but hold on. Let me try to put this in human terms.
Yep.
So Doug's got a choice. He can wake up in the morning and worry about what Carson Wentz is bitching about today. Or he can wake up in the morning and wonder if the trout are biting.
Yep. Sounds a lot easier,
now,
right?
To me, the trout biting is a nice eater. That's an easier lifestyle.
Yeah, but you want to do it, even if
it's in the blood.
That's why you see guys say they coach in high school if they had
yep.
to, just to coach.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example. It's Mike Babcock that he's doing some NBC with me. He's making $7 million a year. That's just as a hockey coach. And he still has 2 years left. So he's getting paid every 2 weeks that check comes in. He's going to coach the University of Saskatchewan next year for free. He needs to coach. That's what these guys do. They absolutely love coaching.
Seems overrated to me.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.